John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to episode 205 of the Compound Podcast presented by Connect Roasters. ConnectRoasters.com for all of your coffee needs. If you want to try some new coffee, you want to get some good coffee in your life, the boys at Wrigley have been raving about the coffee. I'm going to shout out Ben Brown again. Ben Brown was way in on the Connect Roasters in the clubhouse. ConnectRoasters.com, code Compound Club. Hold on, Compound Club. For 25% off your first Home Run Club order, that is a monthly shipment that comes directly to your door, or Compound 15 for 15% off site-wide. Dakota, your comment about Ben Brown.
I just don't want him sliding in and thinking he can take our place. Like, I'm glad you got friends on this team, but I don't need this guy cozying up to you this much, all right? Kind of sick of it.
Can I say one thing about Ben Brown?
I don't know. It depends what it is, if I'll accept it or not. Go ahead.
Ben Brown is a big, strong boy. He's big and strong.
I'd put him in a headlock and noogie him to death. Right here.
Yeah, he was in the weight room today noogie. Working out, doing handstands. And I was like, this is a strong man. But also, he has a really good name to say the full name. Call him Ben Brown to his face. Not Ben, but Ben Brown. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
Let's just start right there.
The Thunder are playing basketball. I'm a basketball fan. I watch a lot of playoff basketball. I was wondering if you were still a diehard Thunder fan these days.
I am. I love the Thunder. I became a Thunder fan for Kevin Durant. He then left, so then I hated Kevin Durant. And then I stayed for Russell Westbrook. GOAT. He's my GOAT. Love watching Russell Westbrook still with the Clippers, but now I love watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Thunder. Good young team. Some would say ahead of schedule. I'd say, don't care. Let's go win the whole thing. We're a one seed. We're in a battle right now, game one battle.
I'm wondering just really quick, tie game. This is a basketball pod. How did they get good because they were bad and now they're good?
They robbed the rest of the NBA and just got every single draft pick imaginable.
Literally.
Zach just had balloons go on his screen for some reason.
Did they trade some good players for a bunch of first round picks?
Yes, they traded Russ for a bunch of picks, Paul George for a bunch of picks. They traded Paul George to the Clippers was a big one. They got like four first round picks and or like three firsts and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is probably going to win MVP this year. So that was a good trade. And they've just like continuously the past few years until this one kind of sold off their older guys that aren't part of the future plans to get good picks. Just the way a good organization's run that doesn't have a ton of money.
Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart. That's good ball.
I love, and it's playoff basketball and playoff hockey right now. My Wings, Zach, our Wings, our Red Wings.
Yeah.
Heartbreak City. Heartbreak.
That was wild. Ian,
I was going to say, Ian, I don't know if you saw this. This is we're a hockey basketball podcast. Red Wings needed to win their last game to get in and needed the Capitals to lose to the Flyers. The Red Wings scored with 5 seconds left against the Canadians to tie the game. 5 seconds left to tie the game. They proceeded to win in a shootout. The Flyers still had a chance at the playoffs, so they pulled their goalie because they had to win in regulation. With like the tiebreakers, you have to win in regulation. Like that's how tiebreakers work in hockey. It's weird. But they pulled their goalie with like 2 minutes left. The Capitals score to take the lead, and the Capitals are in the playoffs, not the Red Wings. Heartbreak. Oh,
that is heartbreak.
Shai Gilgeous just hit a shot to take the lead. Come on.
Speaking of heartbreak and walk-off performances, the Rockies are playing today. Jacob Stallings, catcher, hits a ball to left field. The left fielder goes up to rob it. It stays in the ballpark. He's standing on second base. They go to review. On the review, the ball is clearly a home run. A fan behind, maybe he's in front of the fence, but he's definitely above the yellow line. It hits the fan's glove, comes back onto the field, and New York in the replay rules, fan interference, you're out. Game over. Or no, it was not game over. It went into extra innings. I believe they lost.
Yeah, I think
so. So they determined basically that it was to left field, right? That the left fielder would have caught it if the fan didn't touch it.
But it wasn't like one of those plays where it was like in the guy's glove and the fan like yanked it out. It was like the fan didn't make the catch. And I didn't feel like the left fielder was going to catch it either.
Yeah, it was like such a perfect, like where the ball was and like where the fan's glove. Yes, Dakota?
No, keep going. After this comment, I have a 30-second. Oh. I have to say something.
I just don't know how you can just say, yeah, he's out. Like, you can't.
If I'm Jacob Stallings in that situation, I am losing my mind.
Oh, you're tossed. You're getting tossed. I agree. I don't know how you can say, oh, you're out. Like, I could get behind, like, ground rule double, but I'm like, you're out? Like, I'd be like, what do you mean? I'd be like, no one caught
like
it.
That's, like, the most common sense rule of, like, yeah, it's not a home run, but we got to give him some sort of credit. He literally hit the ball over the fence.
He hit the ball over the fence and in fair territory, and he's out.
And it wasn't caught.
No. Nobody caught it.
At no point was it caught.
A fan didn't catch it. The outfielder didn't catch it. And you're headed back to the dugout. No home run. I don't care what part of the game is. I mean, walk-off homer. I don't care what part of the game it's in. If I hit a home run and it doesn't get caught and I'm out, I'm livid.
Zach, how fast is that hand going on the hip when you hear that call?
I think – I don't know what I would do, like, because it's such an easy ring, you can't really argue replays. So it's like, I don't think I would say much to get tossed. And
I don't know what you can say.
That's what I'm saying. It's like – because you've seen it. As soon as the manager starts to argue about the replay, it's like the ump is like, Jim, don't do it. Just don't do it. You can't do it. All right, you're gone. It's
in all sports. They're like, dude, like, we don't even make the call once it goes to replay. Like, you can yell at me, but like, they tell us.
Yeah.
Might have to send a strongly worded letter to the commissioner's office on that one.
What's funny too is you two are very different. I don't think I could ever see Zach going ballistic. Ian's very mild, and then he'll kind of flip a switch and just get rung. I feel like Zach's more of just like a doesn't like a strike call, and he's gonna kind of drop a couple magic words.
Yeah,
and get tossed, but you're never gonna like be in the ump's face being like, you can't fucking, that's crazy, you can't do that.
Yeah, I don't know if I have
Ian,
that in me.
Ian
in
can
general.
Flip that switch.
I've only been tossed one time.
But you have that switch where like it wouldn't shock me to see you in an ump's face.
That's fair.
It would shock me to see Zach in an ump's face.
Yeah.
He's more of like a says something, gets wrong, and then he's like, whatever, that's bullshit, and then goes back to the dugout.
Yeah. Thank you. I think I have one more, too.
Nah, this guy's getting his luggage brought to him. We're missing free throws late in the game. It's not good. What I was going to call a timeout for, and it's not timeout from the pod. Ian, we should have started the episode welcoming Zach back. Missed him
that's
for a week.
Point. That's a good we point. I brushed over it. And
thanks.
You know, some of us are grinders. Some of us are up.
Oh, no, don't make it a thing.
Some of us.
I mean, starting at 1 a.m. is tough, man.
Yeah, when two of the members are on the West Coast, you know, some of us grind it out, and some of us stay up. And
normal time.
Nope. Some
for
of us
you
don't.
Guys on the West Coast.
Look behind the curtain for those fans at home. The group chat this morning, it wanted to get heated, and I tried to de-escalate as best I could. I go, I could see an argument coming up here, and I was like, let's not do it. Let's all be friends. We're all friendly. We like each other.
Zach, it is nice to have you back. We missed you. And
whatever.
What's going on, everybody? Tom Prizman here to tell you about today's sponsor, which is the DraftKings Sportsbook. The 82-game preseason for NBA is over, and you can get it on the NBA playoffs betting action with promo code COMPOUND. You bet $5, you win $200 in bonus bets, and then spread that out however you see fit. Bet on the Cubs a little bit, too. They've been hot. Best team in Chicago, some are saying. Code COMPOUND, bet $5, win $200 in bonus bets. Thank you to DraftKings.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Nice win, Dakota.
Bro, I'm like way behind.
Oh,
that one. can I ask you about the West Coast trip? You guys go to LA, take 2 of 3. It's a nice series win for the boys.
Yeah, I mean, that series was sick. A weekend in LA, you know, New York versus LA, obviously. And it felt like we punched back a lot in each game, except today, obviously. So both games. Like we went up, Starling Marte hit a huge homer in game two. They came back, you know, made it a one run game again. And then Lindor had another base hit. It kind of, you know, took the air out of their, you know, we went up by two, had some huge pitching. Like the bullpen was so nails both days, getting out of huge jams. And you know how that lineup is, like the top three felt like they were up with big situations every single time, every single inning. It felt like,
It's not brush past game two. Who set the table for Marte's big home run? Pardon me. Eagle Eye.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, 2-1 pinch hit. He said, spit on it. I'll go to first.
That's a huge, you know, anytime, especially you can win on the road, win a series, but, you know, win against them, it was huge. And especially with some, you know, gut-wrenching news on Francisco Alvarez, that guy is so much fun to watch. And to kind of see how it happened, you know, he didn't want to come out of the game. And then kind of, I guess you can say almost like worst case scenario for his thumb. They were pretty concerned, obviously, and he has to get surgery. But, I mean, that guy is going to be really good for a long time. And, you know, for us, like I said, to kind of get punched in the mouth after Friday and then win on Saturday in a close game without, you know, riding the highs and the lows of an emotional, you know, news was pretty cool, especially for a team like, you know, a bunch of different parts this year, different guys stepping up, and to do that pretty early was pretty cool.
It's hard to win on the West Coast too. And so going out there and winning the first series on the West Coast is a big deal.
Zach, didn't you get to hang out with one of our good friends? I think he'd appreciate a shout out.
Yeah. Friend of the pod listener, Mark Huberman. We came up with him. My fiance had dinner with him and his wife on Thursday and Saturday night. It was great. It was great to see a familiar face in so far away.
Two dinners.
Yeah, it's nice. Wow. Two authentic dinners. It was great.
Did you pick up the bill?
All of it? No.
Can I expect us to have two dinners in New York? Or I'm just wondering.
I mean, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I'm sure you'll have some answer.
Yeah,
it depends if the Yankees are in town, if he's going to hang with Riz or not.
You know, it's just kind of where it is.
We've talked about this on the pod before, but seeing milestone things happen during your career, you were in LA. Ohtani hits the home run to break the all-time Japanese-born player homer record. Was that today?
Yeah, it was today.
Yeah.
Was that cool to see? Did they make do a scoreboard thing or anything?
Yeah, they put it on the scoreboard. It was funny because they kept switching the balls out every time it went up. And I don't think I knew, but like, obviously I figured it was for something. They weren't just giving him brand new balls because it's Ohtani.
That's what they've been doing his whole career. They juice the balls for him. That's why he's so good. It was funny though, Ian. My roommate had the Dodgers game on, or it was like the MLB like 9 innings thing where like it's kind of like red zone where they like jump around to different games. And like the dude in the studio goes, the Dodgers have kind of been on a cold streak of homers here. Like, here comes Shohei Ohtani that played. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he hits a home run here. And then like one pitch later, home run. I was like, who saw that coming? Yeah. But I think it was like delayed and like he knew he hit one. So like they made a note of like,
you know what's funny is like, you look at Freddie Freeman, he struggled up until today. He was struggling like statistically. The guy was still hitting like 260 with like a 750 something OPS. And you're like, man, he's got to be going through it. It's a different game, bro.
I had that same thing with him last year. They came to Wrigley and he was grinding. And you look up, he was hitting like 280 with a, you know, 750, 780 OPS. And you're like talking to him at first, it's like, grind it. I'm just rolling over everything. And it's like, you're hitting 270.
You look at him and you're like, just stop.
But that's how good he is. I saw a stat today, actually. Your game was on for a minute, maybe after our game. And I saw a stat that said his career numbers or his his numbers the last couple years with runners scoring position, it was like on like the league is hitting 250. Yeah. He's hitting like 380.
Yeah. They put that on the board. And there, I think it might have been that stat. And I like looked up and I was like, what?
Yeah. Did you go to Mendoza and say four? Put him on.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, and then I think Will Smith's waiting for you on deck. So
yeah, exactly. There's no let up in that lineup.
No, it's I mean, it's funny. Like Mookie's hitting like 360, and it's the same thing. Like I don't know if he went hitless one of the games, but like I think we just walked him a few times, and it's like, man, like he hasn't really swung much. Can't believe he's hitting 360, and then like every time he gets out, it's either like. Whew, that was almost a homer, or it's, and when he gets a hit, it's like, yeah, it checks out.
Yeah. I mean,
he hits everything in the air. Everything is, I'm telling you, like he had two flyouts to the track that were like, he knew right away, but the stands obviously would, they were hoping and thought it was a homer. And it's just like, there's like two back to back and it's like, he's so close, but I'm sure he like feels like pissed off. And I'm like, man, that was like, thought that was a homer again. He's just on everything.
If you play a game against those guys and one of them goes like 0-for-5, you're like,
we got away.
It's like,
with
it's like you really escaped. Locked out today. Yeah, it's like you escaped. Yeah, it's like wow. It's just, I don't know. It's just such like a different lineup. You know, it's like just three of the biggest names in baseball on the same team, back to back to back.
And your boy Kike in there.
He got put in at first base today.
Did you say hi? Say hey, man. I'm your biggest fan. I'm Zach. I love you. Ian, can we shout out ourselves for fluffing Keegan Thompson last week? And then he just was nails like two or three more times since then.
Yeah, we did give Keegan a shout out for his first outing and how good he was. And then he went and had a bulldog of an outing next time out, which was huge for us. And he's been lights out. He's been really, really good. It's been fun to watch.
People don't realize, I think, how hard it is to come in with a guy on second and extras with nobody out and not give up a run to big league hitters. Like that's so hard to do. Like you're a base hit away for three straight guys. And like the first guy grounds out, then you're a fly ball away from giving up. Like it's very hard. And he did it for two straight innings, which was sick.
I was talking to Foles about that the other day. Cause I texted him about his outing and he was like, yeah, it was nice. You know, I threw two, except the first one I left the guy on. And he was like, the second one's like damn near impossible to do it again. So he's like, I let one up, but it's fine. Like he's like, he didn't say it was fine, but he was like, yeah, I mean, I threw well. It's just really hard to do.
I feel like you go into that situation. Obviously, like your mentality, or at least my mentality, the times I did it was like, oh, I'm not letting this guy score. I'm not letting him score. But at the end of the day, unless you're the home team and or the away team and you put up zero in the top half, it's kind of like, all right, like we can live with this guy scoring, but we can't let anyone else score kind of thing.
Definitely when you're the home team and you have it first, like if you can get out of there with just one, you feel like you're going to score one in the bottom.
Yeah. Like you feel comfortable in your lineup. You're like, all right, like we can scrape across one to tie this back up at least.
Yeah, we did. We were in Arizona, had a good series with them, but we played 10 inning games the first two. Long 10 inning games. The last time we were there with them, we played like a series like that where every game was close, every game was down to the wire. And we ended up winning the series, but it was just like three really, really good baseball games out there.
Yeah.
And some really good performances from our bullpen to keep us in a couple of those.
Leiter's been disgusting, dude.
Leiter's been nasty. He's been lights out, everything working, splitter really good. You know, Hector Neris has been fun to watch. You know, dude, obviously ton of experience. Like he throws 70 innings a year out of the bullpen. Like it's pretty impressive.
He threw three straight, I think. I think he threw every game that series.
Yeah, and he's just like he always wants the ball. Like he had one or two outings where he walked some guys, and you know, he won in Seattle. He didn't give any up. There was one early that he gave a couple up, and like he's like I need to throw. He's like, I need to. I want to take the ball like every day. And like, that's what gets him dialed in. It's just like throwing all the time, which is like crazy.
I have two things on bullpen. First thing, is it pretty sick? I mean, early in the year, like regular season, it I guess doesn't happen quite as much, but like guys in the field, like when you look out and see who's running and you're like, he's throwing again, like sick. Like, you know what I mean? Like seeing him run out a third straight game, you're like, fuck, this guy's nuts. Like, I love it. Like, I feel like that's pretty cool.
We've been a little shorthanded, you know, just with schedule. We had like a rain delay in the fourth inning that took Shota out, and just like some of that stuff, and like still goes down. So Ben Brown comes up and he's been great, but he was kind of like on a little bit of a pitch count early, getting through five innings. Like when you have to cover that many innings with the bullpen, like you end up a little bit short. And so we've had guys that have had to come in and throw a bunch of innings and come in multiple days, and they've done a great job of just like taking the ball, you know, not asking any questions, just being available. And that's like all you can ask for as a position player.
That's I don't know if you guys know or have seen the guy on our team, Reed Garrett, the reliever.
Mm-hmm.
He has been like one of baseball's best relievers. It's a crazy story. You know, he's 31 years old, just had his first save, career save yesterday. He spent a few years overseas, didn't break with camp this year, and got called up, you know, first week or so, and threw a few really good innings against the Tigers. Like one was a mop up, but you know, I think, but then, you know, threw a huge scoreless and extra innings like we were talking about. And then he has been in on an absolute tear, throwing leverage innings just so quickly. And like today or yesterday, he was on for the save, and Joey Wendell and I looked at each other. We're like, you know, if you asked this guy 3 weeks ago when he got optioned, if he was going to be closing a game at Dodger Stadium, you know, and it's like, it's crazy. He has like, you know, 12 or 13 innings with like 26 punch outs or something. It's stupid. Not 26. It's just like, he's doing it, man. And you just never know. It's just, he's out there. Same thing. Like, they used him yesterday in an emergency situation where he was, I think he was almost supposed to be down. And then they were kind of like last guy in the bullpen, like, hey, bro, we kind of need you, and you're going to get your first save.
It's one of those where I feel like most guys are the same way. Like, I was always someone at least that was like, I mean, if you need me, like, sure, especially in the big leagues, it's like, if you need me, man, I'll throw. Like, what am I going to do? But like, yeah, no, can't do it today. Especially a guy like that, like you said, with that background of like, he's like, dude, I worked my ass off to get here. Like, I'm never telling you I can't pitch. Like, I'll throw whenever you want me.
I think.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I just think the other like guys get sent down in like the end of spring training, like relievers, even sometimes like guy that gets left off the roster. Like, mm-hmm. There's always going to be opportunities, and like, just see it every year where something happens in those first few games, whether it's a starter goes down or you get a little short and guys have to get caught up, and just like that mentality of when you get an opportunity, be able to go out there and shove, like, so then you make yourself like a staple.
Well, that goes back to like our Keegan Thompson thing. Like, he was like a dude two and a half years ago, had a rough patch in there, and then like doesn't break with the team this year, gets called up because of a few injuries here and there. And it's like, I got to go prove it again. Like, I got to prove I can do this again. And it's sick to see him doing it.
Yeah, sick to see him doing it. And he's been awesome for us. And, like, hopefully just keeps being, like, a huge part of our bullpen. Like, that's yeah. So cool.
I had one other thing on the Cubs bullpen. Have either of you faced Yency Almonte when he was on the Dodgers? I was watching him the other day. By the way, Ian Sugar said yes. this is a podcast. Yency Almonte the other day, he's had kind of a rough start to the year, had a couple bad outings in there. But I was watching him, and his two-seam to sweeper like combo, I'm like, those move 40 inches of difference. I'm like, those are disgusting. Like, how does he ever give up hits?
He's gross. Yeah. His sinker moves a ton. Like, it moves a ton, and his slider moves a ton. Like, honestly, it's like controlling the movement and getting it in his zone, because it's just there's so much horizontal on it. And so, yeah, I faced him a few times. He's nasty. He was throwing more fours when he's with the Dodgers, though. So it's interesting, because like earlier in his career, he's throwing sinkers, change ups, and then it was kind of like fours and sliders and change ups. And now it's like the sinker slider mix again. So it is interesting just to kind of see the difference.
Would you guys say the hardest combo of two pitches to hit would be someone that's able to throw a four seam with good vert and a sinker that runs a ton, like that they're both like 95? Like, is that like almost impossible? I feel like that's almost impossible.
It would be hard to cover both.
That's what I mean. Like, few guys do it, but
yeah.
I think it's super challenging. Like, when a guy's able to do that, when a guy's able to throw, especially with command, like the four up or the four in, and then also the two seam, they're both really firm, and it adds like another pitch. I'm trying to remember, there was a lefty I faced last year and he had like an angled four in and then a sinker off that same pitch. And so he started, you know, I had to go to bat against him. Then he started a sinker middle and it ran to the outside corner. Like, break your bat. And you're like, what are we doing? Like, you can't throw, pick one. Just pick one.
And that's like guys that throw sinkers and cutters. It's like, they look the same. One goes one way, one goes the other, and they're the same speed. What do you want me to do about that? Like, I feel like you're almost just guessing, like, well, I hope it's the cutter, either that or I'm swinging and missing.
Mm-hmm. I think you just kind of you group it as one from what I've heard. And then
yeah,
you kind of just swing and hope that, you know, it's on that same plane, I guess.
Yeah, that's really all you can do.
I'm looking at my bats. Now you have me interested looking at my bats against them. Oh,
against
man.
Almonte?
I hit one into the a line drive into the outfield in 22 that Max Muncy was playing shallow right field as a second baseman. This one hurts. This one hurts the feelings.
Not anymore.
I do have one hit off him though. One hit. I think so, I'm one for four.
We'll take that.
That's right.
Just a nice single. Nice single on a changeup.
Well,
I'm gonna take a screen grab of this just so you guys can see this rude play.
Are you guys, have you noticed a big difference with no shift? Either of you?
Like for me hitting no in the field, I mean, yeah, but I guess you kind of forget about it now. Like if a ball gets through, you're like, eh, whatever. I haven't really thought about the shift in a while.
Yeah. I meant more like just for like in general of like, I don't know if Freddie Freeman got shifted, whoever would like get like Kyle Schwarber.
Like, I just think that like the hits that should be hits are hits. Like, if a dude makes a really good, it also like just watching Nico and Dansby up the middle, like it emphasizes like the ability of those two guys, like being mm-hmm. able to be in the right spots and move around. And like, if you hit a ball 108 in the four hole, like it's going to be a hit. Like there's not somebody standing out in shallow right field who can, who can make that play. And like the balls that are hit hard, the line drives, like those are hits as they should be. I think the one thing I've noticed like right-handed, like there was a time in 22 where I was getting some backside hits that like, because they were shifting me like either like all the way up the middle or three guys on the left side, that all I had to do was kind of poke it over there and there'd be hits. I had a couple of those last year, like a handful that was like, that would have definitely been a hit previously. Mm-hmm. And some left-handed too, like six hole balls that would have been hits.
I was going to say, you got shifted a little bit on both sides, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But I would trade all of those outs for like the line drives and like the hard hit balls being hits.
Yeah, for sure. That's fair.
Can I take you to a new segment that I'd like to try out here?
I'm nervous, but yes.
Okay. It's a new segment. It's brought to you by Bruce Bolt, brucebolt.us. Bruce Bolt has game hats. If you have a summer ball team coming up, you want to get your uniforms, you want to get your game hats customized, go to brucebolt.us. They have stretch technology. They're fitted hats with a little bit of stretch. They have soft brims and sweat-resistant technology. They also have batting gloves that I wear, batting gloves that Zach wears, best batting gloves in the game. Bruce Bolt, seen a lot of Bolts out there in the major leagues this year. A lot of guys with the arm sleeves with the batting gloves. brucebolt.us. So here's my new segment. It's called Danny's Hot Takes. All right, Danny Mueller has some hot takes that he would like us to discuss on the pod. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to give you his first hot take.
Will you explain to the people who Danny is?
Mueller is the head clubhouse guy for the Chicago Cubs. He's an absolute legend of the game. He's been working for the Cubs for a very long time, and he's not that old. He's been working for the Cubs since he was like 14, and he's 32, 33.
I think he's close to your age.
Danny Mueller's best in the business. And this is his first hot take. Coaches shouldn't have numbers.
I've seen that. I feel like I've seen that somewhere else too.
Danny says that you want to give the first base coach and the third base coach and the manager a number because they're the ones that go out on the field. Fine. But all the other coaches shouldn't have numbers.
That's a take from a clubby that I feel like is like, I got guys bitching at me. They want this number, and I got a bench coach wearing the number, and I can't give it to them. Like, what am I supposed to do?
They don't really wear their uniforms that much. Other coaches
no,
don't.
No, they never do.
They're never wearing their unis. They're just wearing a sweatshirt or a jacket or...
Even managers don't wear it much.
I think we just got to get rid of the jerseys for all the old coaches. I was doing a college game this weekend, and they one team was wearing maroon baseball pants, and there's a certain age you get to where maroon baseball pants are just not a good look for you anymore. And it happened to be a lot of people on that coaching staff. Maybe we just let the coaches wear normal clothes like every other sport.
Like a Bruce Bolt set of sweats, like joggers, yeah. And joggers and a pullover?
For the bench coach, certainly. Maybe the head coach has got to like put on a suit or something, or at least like a better like a polo shirt. But bench coach, he can wear sweatpants.
I think first and third base coach has got to keep the unis on just because you're on the field.
Do you want another one of Danny Mueller's hot takes? We'll give you one more for today.
Yes.
Scheduled doubleheaders. He's way in on scheduled doubleheaders.
That's a position player question. Pitchers.
What if you had one scheduled doubleheader a month and it gave you 6 extra off days?
Ooh. Zach?
Say that again. You get 6 extra.
One scheduled doubleheader a month. We play 6 months. You get one scheduled doubleheader a month, but in return, you get 6 more off days.
I said Zach to answer the question. His eyes flickered like, oh, shit. I didn't hear what he said.
No, I understood it, but I didn't know. To Ian's point, I think I would do that. It's just like, hey, you have it looming in a week and a half. You know, you kind of prep for it, you know, but then you get 6 more off days. Like,
I would also
split,
do it.
Are they split or are they straight?
They're split.
Split's tough.
I feel like splits are worse.
Splits are hard, bro.
For the people, you don't often play straight doubleheader where you would get like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour in between games and then just play when it's over. Because they have to clear the stadium. They want to sell 2 sets of tickets. So generally you would have like a 1 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock.
That dude, that break is like,
then you got to fire it back up again.
It's like as soon as you get like completely done, your mind's off of it, whatever. It's like, hey guys, we got about an hour and a half. Here we go.
They would have to be splits. I would do it in theory, but when you act like in practice, you are going to have to play 1 to 4 doubleheaders a year because of weather.
Yeah. So it could end up being like 2 in a week sometimes.
But they would, you know, with the extra off days, maybe you have a chance to make up a game and not
put it there. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it.
I really don't think I would either.
I think you dislike it, Ian, a little more once it started actually happening and you'd be like, I hate these doubleheaders.
I think so too. I think once you, like, if you're in August and you like, you have that day coming up, you'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for like the teams not in a playoff race. They're like, we got to play 2 games today.
If they were 2-7s, it'd be an absolute no brainer.
I miss 2-7s. Dude, 2-7s was
the greatest thing ever.
The best.
They did it in the Bigs what year?
2020.
Didn't they do it
in 21? They did it in 21 as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
2-7s is a beautiful thing.
2-7s are nice. Imagine 2-7s. Oh, I was going to bring this up 2 weeks ago. I noticed it sitting at the game watching Ian, and I had forgotten like about the pitch clock pretty much. And I was just sitting there. It was like game started 6:40. It was like 8 o'clock, 8:15. And it's like the 7th inning. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, could you imagine
thing in the world
without a pitch clock and it's 8:15 right now? We're 2 hours in and it's the 4th inning. Like, could you imagine? Like, I'd be like, I'd be miserable.
Was that the first time you've been to a big league game with the pitch clock? No, you went last summer.
I haven't been to a big league game since Wrigley like 4 or 5 years ago. That was the first big league game in like years. So yeah, first one with the clock.
How was your fan experience?
Awesome. Like I said, it was incredible. I noticed it and I was like, this is awesome. Like, it's still light out and the game's almost over. I'm going to get home at like a reasonable hour. It's perfect.
It's great. And I think, you know, pitcher injuries and everything, and they're going to hopefully find a way to figure that out. But the move to the 18 second clock with runners on base hasn't been, you know, guys have adapted pretty well. The 15 sometimes still gets fast, but for the most part, like, everybody's adapted to the new rules pretty well.
I'd like to stand on my take that pitch clock does not affect the elbow injuries. I will stand by my take. I'm sure that someone smarter than me will do a
like deep dive into that at some point. And I'd love to be proven. Right now. I'd not love to be proven wrong. But I'm curious to see what the data shows on that. Like, obviously when you're doing anything strenuous, like if you give yourself more time in between and you give your body more time to recover, like it's better, but I don't know. I don't know if that's like the direct cause of like why there's all these TJs.
Yeah. Does 1 to 2 seconds really make a difference?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, just cause we went to 18 instead of 20, like there wasn't this many last year.
We did have one pitch clock violation on the West Coast trip, I think maybe in Arizona, but I haven't seen us have a violation. Like, I think that was the first one that we had all year.
I think we've only had like one.
Yeah. They've been pretty, I haven't seen many at all through this first stretch.
The one I still don't love that hitters have the advantage on. Have you guys watched Yuli Gurriel hit? So he does the like, look around, like he gets in the box, like he's looking at the dugout, he gets in the box, he's looking out at right field, he waits until he's ready, or like I say when he's ready and it makes it seem like it's okay, and then he'll like look at the pitcher, like I feel like he's trying to steal a ball,
yeah,
kind of thing.
I've recently seen two very interesting strategies to negate the pitch clock. One was a guy that he'll go up there and like every time he'll be like, I got something in my eye. Like three times a game. It's like,
hey man, get this guy some contact, get him some glasses. What's going on?
And the umpire like basically has to like give him time. And the other one, which I thought was really good, was foul ball off the netting. So it's floating around home plate, you know? And the dude went to pick up the foul ball, the batter.
That's smart. Instead of
the ball boy getting it, the dude goes to pick it up, you know, like walks with it for a couple steps, tosses it to the bat boy, and then the clock doesn't reset until the bat boy like starts running off. And so like gives himself some time. Sometimes they didn't even reset it until like he got back in the box. So I thought that was a pretty good strategy. And one time he went like across like a good 15 feet away from him to get the ball. Like, that's pretty good.
I kind of love that.
I got no issues with those, like, in between pitches type things. It's more so the, like, trying to, like, deceive the pitcher almost. Like, be like, oh, like, let me see if I can get him to throw it when I haven't technically looked at him yet. Like, that's more, like, not the nature of the rule. It's not, like, a huge deal, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like that's a little... not what it's about.
Sound like a real pitcher, man.
Yeah, I do side with the pitcher. Someone asked you on this podcast. You two are hitters, so I got to stand for my pitchers.
I've had this happen to me a couple times recently, and I think umpires might think I'm crazy or like freaking out. But if the umpire's walking back as the clock is kind of winding down, I like ask them, and I felt myself get very frantic. Like, are you going to reset it? Are you going to reset the clock? Because like, it'll be at like 18 and they'll be like walking back to like get behind home plate. And I'm like, wait, like reset that thing. Start it again. You're not ready. I'm not ready. I can't be ready until you're ready.
Start this over.
Yeah. And the one We're time fine. The guy was like, we got plenty of time. Like, I don't have plenty of time. You might have plenty of time. I don't have plenty of time. Reset it.
I love it.
Ian, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What is your go-to order if you're going to order room service? Like, what do you find yourself ordering most of the time?
Ooh. I have two go-tos. Two. It depends what mood I'm in.
Can I guess what I think one of them is?
Sure.
I bet it's like a club sandwich.
Okay. One is a club sandwich.
Yeah.
One is a club sandwich.
Great call.
I will go with the club sandwich, and the second is the burger. But it's like, yeah. I try to not go crazy with the burger. Like, I try to go with like a very traditional burger. Like, if they got something that's all over the place, I'm staying away from it. But like, just a nice traditional hotel burger. Love it. Little Angus, little Wagyu burger of the hotel. I'm way in.
I have a follow-up question. What the hell did you order when you were a vegetarian? Hey, yeah, I'll just take a Caesar salad. I just got done playing 9 innings. Can I take a Caesar salad, please? No chicken.
It was only 2020.
Did you do it during the season too?
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been, wild. I'm sure that would have been like a Caesar salad with salmon or something.
Zach, I'm guessing you just got room service. What'd you get?
No, I didn't. They just dropped my bags off, but I just looked at this menu. It's just right here.
A little chicken ciabatta.
Man, that was the best.
What's your go-to?
Chicken ciabatta. Chicken ciabatta is what me and Zach, more so Zach, would get. Five times a week at the Marriott Hotel in spring training in Arizona.
It was good, but it was like never enough.
True.
I'd get two sometimes. Ian, I like a burger. I think it's usually just burger, but then like in Detroit, if a bunch of guys were hanging out, somebody would order like a zillion chicken tenders and fries, and everybody would hang out and just share that.
One of my favorite big league pastimes is like a nice off day in the middle of the summer. Like it's early, like the boys, everybody's hanging out. Like sometimes you get to August and it's like,
yeah,
it's an off day and we all need a day for ourselves. Like you go play golf in Pittsburgh, come back to the Fairmont, get a burger, have a nice shower, get a burger, just lay in the hotel bed. Oh man.
It's nice day. Except it's funny, like they upcharge everything. You get a burger, it's like $18 on here, and you ended up paying like $45 when everything's said and done. And you're like, in the moment, you're like, man, this is great. And then you check out the next day and you're like, wow, what the fuck?
Yeah, but then you think about, don't you guys, what's the bit, $75 a day for meal money?
I don't know what it is now. I think they've changed it.
100? I don't know. But either way, like I'm saying, like like you said, when you check out, it's like, damn, like $200 or like $100. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
But like,
God forbid you ask for a drink.
Money. Yeah, exactly. It'll be $8 for a Coke Zero.
Sometimes you go to like San Fran or New York or some of these cities, and you're like, or Miami, you're like, oh my God. Like, you get breakfast, you're like, just like eggs and toast and it's like, and a coffee, and you're like, $75. How did that? The burger in New York's like $50. Like, what?
I don't think I've ever ordered breakfast room service. I think that's like really? My time. I think that's my time to like get up and go get a coffee, like to get out of the house or to get out of the room. But dinner is usually the one, like, especially after a game where it's like some games you don't want like Brussels sprouts with asparagus and you're just like, I need a burger, bro.
See, I'm rarely a post game eater. I would get room service on either if we traveled in,
yeah,
or if it's an off day and I'm just chilling the hotel. But I'll do a fair amount of room service breakfast.
Yeah,
especially like you play in LA, not the Dodgers, but the Anaheim. Like some of those hotels, like you can't walk. Like Miami, LA, some of those places, like. You're on an island there. Like if you're getting in an Uber, you need a rental car if you're going to go find something. So
that's what I will, for the most part, if I do order breakfast, it's just on Uber Eats or something. Mm. So it's the same thing, except what, $5 cheaper, basically.
Sneaky Zach. One of the things I miss the most about playing is do it like on the road. Like you said, like in the mornings, finding a coffee shop in like a new city or somewhere you haven't been in, just finding like a cool coffee shop. It's
not like one of the first, it's truly one of the first things I do. Like when I get either in bed or right in the morning, like kind of scope everything out. I'm like, okay, I could do this or like, oh, I guess I'm going to order food because I can't go anywhere. And then usually I'll try to get coffee in the lobby or something.
I was always a big, like find a breakfast place. And then find a coffee shop on my walk back from the breakfast place.
Dude,
and
have a coffee. The Tigers would do it the opposite and it pissed me off and made no sense. They would stop, like Foles would always want to get a coffee on the way. And I'm like, why? Like you can't bring it into the restaurant.
Why not? Can't, like, what are they gonna do? Tackle you?
No, it's just like, I don't know. I don't like doing that. I'd rather do it on the way back where I can enjoy it from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock if I need to. Yes. Like if I'm getting an iced coffee.
Oh, you chill in the room, you got a nice venti coffee. Not even venti because Starbucks, but like any coffee shop, like you got a big coffee sitting there. Oh, it's the best. I miss
talking
that.
About you're talking about an iced frappuccino.
Do it at breakfast. No.
Yeah,
well what I'm saying is you can't always trust the coffee at the breakfast place.
That's where I'll get just like a hot black coffee, and then on the way back I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get a coffee shop. I want to go to a coffee shop.
I agree. I would get coffee before. I would pre-coffee. and I would take it into the restaurant and I would say, this is my nice coffee that I got. It's going to taste good. And you can take your burnt coffee and you can save it.
You know who I don't get in this world are people that don't like coffee. I can't think of a world that I live in where I don't drink coffee.
It's like, I truly look forward to it every single
It's the morning. Best.
Danny Mueller doesn't drink coffee.
How?
Is a clubby too?
He doesn't need it. He doesn't energy need drinks? It. He's built different and he doesn't need coffee.
Bullshit.
Tom's built different too. Tom doesn't like coffee. Tom, that's crazy.
What do we got, man?
See, but Danny Mueller, crazier.
Can I say this really quick? Danny Mueller doesn't drink coffee. Doesn't have any caffeine. Straight through day night doubleheader. Got there at, I don't know, 7, 8 a.m., 8 a.m. and left at midnight. No coffee. Doesn't care. Doesn't need it. Nope.
Not I. I will look for every excuse to get a coffee.
100%. It doesn't matter what time of day. I'm like, I could probably go for a coffee right now.
Yeah, I'll get one.
I might stay up a little later, but it's all right.
Yeah, it's coffee. All
right. Don't care.
The people that drink like a Bang Energy instead of coffee, I'm like, you're a psycho. Like, you can't tell me you're enjoying that more.
Nope.
I did.
You love your coffee. You Connect Roasters. We're presented by him.
You know what's funny? Really quick. If I see a house or something, like a really nice house, like the other day we played golf. There's this beautiful house that would like overlooked everything. And like the first thing that went on my mind was, man, imagine a Sunday morning coffee on that balcony right there.
That's so good.
It's starting to warm up here. By warm up, I mean it was 55 today. And it's gonna be 60 something tomorrow. And there's a good chance I go sit out on my balcony and have a cup of coffee tomorrow.
I'm telling you, man, like that's my thing. Like in the fall, that's what it brings me back to. Like a little crisp chill in the air before. Oh my
God. Leaves changing colors. Oh man. Football's on later.
Too early to be doing this.
We're basketball pod right now, guys. Remember.
Zach, also, we didn't mention how you played Riviera, right?
Yeah. I did.
Tell us about Riv, please.
That was special. Just seeing the clubhouse. Seeing, you know, like I'm a big, for everybody out there, hole 10 is like a very tricky short par 4. And I just roll my eye first, you know, I'm kind of being, you know, an idiot, but like, why are these guys hitting driver on 10? Just lay up. And it's like, obviously they know that playing driver is a better play on this hole. And you get there, you know, I don't know if you've played it before, but like the green is literally this big. So like, you cannot lay up. You would have to be absolutely perfect. And if like, your ball hits a hard spot on the green, it's going off of the green into a bunker where it's impossible. And it's like, it makes sense. As soon as you see it from the clubhouse, you look at it and it's like, I don't want a shot hitting into that green.
How'd you play?
What'd you shoot?
Yeah. I played well. I will say anything inside 130 yards, I'm the worst player to ever play the game when it comes
that's
to
the only, that's the only thing I'm good at.
I have no clue how far my clubs go. I don't practice. I don't do anything about it except complain. So it's like, I have nobody to blame but myself. Like I hit the ball and putted the ball so well. And I shot 76 and God. I mean, we were a tee box.
You're
up.
It
wasn't like it was.
You're good though.
Okay. But
you can roll it too. You can roll the rock.
Look when I'm right.
Can you putt for me?
If you want to hit my approach shots.
If it was like Zach's drives, Zach and Ian's drives are similar, but Ian's like 150 in and then Zach putts, that guy's on tour.
I think I get so excited for those shots too, because I'm like, oh man, they're so sick. If like, you know, you zip one back to the hole or if you're playing it perfectly and I get up there and I get so excited and I take it back a little bit further than I should. And then I'm like, fuck, that's going to be way too far. And then I just decelerate and take a divot this big. And the ball is 30 yards short of the green. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Walk us through how you played number 10.
10, I hit a drive. They told me it's way better to miss left. So it's, you know, it is. But I did. I went over the green to the left. But I got really lucky. I was I wasn't obstructed by a tree.
In the bushes.
Yeah, kind of. I went kind of pretty left. It was a draw. That kind of just kept drawing and I got on and up and down, just missed the bird, lipped out for birdie too. It was a good chip, but
if you're one box farther back, if you played from their tees, what
I think 10 was from their tee. But there was a few where like you could really look back and it's like, man, that's like a club or two difference. And like you'd have a par four or par five and you're like hitting driver with into a wedge. And it's like, would have been different if I had to hit a five or a six iron into here. And it's like, that's where they really make their money, where anybody can, you know, you can hit a pitching wedge onto a par five and you're like, okay, yeah, I should birdie this.
You were hitting driver pitching wedge onto par fives?
No, I, there was one where it's like driver, I don't know what, I don't remember, but it was like driver eight, like nine iron or pitching wedge. And I'm like, I don't know if this should be a par five. Hang on. I think.
Did you play with McNeil?
Yeah, he played. I think he shot 75. It was good. We had a
was
good.
Was he mad about it?
No, because he got new irons, and that was the first time he played with them.
For those of you at home, by the way, when Zach and Ian hit what they call are bad shots, that means they're like 20 feet from the pin, versus us normal golfers, where if we're on the green, we're happy. They go by like it needs to be close to the pin or they're okay. Missed, so
perfect example, Ian, hole one. It was downwind a little bit, but I went two iron like gap wedge or something, and it's par five. It's like 500 yards. I blasted this two iron downwind with like a high draw, and I just took it until like one. It's like there's like a little creek type of thing. And I was like just barely not in it. And it was like, that's as good as I can ever hit a two iron. And then I had, again, it was downwind. So either pitching wedge or gap wedge.
What Dakota's referring to, we were playing and I hit a shot and I dropped my club out of disgust. I towed it and I was staring. It was a par five. And I was like staring down the barrel of this par five with a seven iron. And I towed it. And it came up, the flag was kind of like back right, and it came up maybe 5 yards short of the green. And he but drops like his right club in line with like, it, right in the fairway. And he was like, what's wrong with you?
And I'm sitting here topping balls 10 feet in front of me, and I'm like, save it. Like, you could save it with your club drop.
It is so hard. Like, it's almost to a fault. Like, you feel bad for doing it, but you're like, I knew that wasn't a good shot when I hit it. As soon as I knew it wasn't a good shot. It ended up being okay, but like,
and you know what? The hole got me back because I made a bogey.
I hit
a chip shot. I thought was good. It rolled off the back, and then before you know it, I made a bogey.
Yep, happy.
And I get it. I'm just saying, like, you guys are very good at golf. So like, those at home, and it's like Zach's like, oh, 130, and I suck. It's like, realistically, they're not that bad.
No,
it's
I'm telling for you. I'm telling you, Dakota, you would have been, because like, it wasn't like the front of the green. It was like, hey, you have to make a shitty chip here to save yourself for an up and down.
Yeah, but if I was on your bag, I would have had the right club in your hands and we would have been fine.
I had the right club. It's just the Indian at this point. It's not the arrow or anybody else. It's me. It's I'm the problem.
Let's get the people the Sloan screen time. I definitely have a high screen time today.
I have a bad one too.
I'm going to put it out there. Definitely a high screen time. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement and provide smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including flush-o-meters, faucets, sink systems, soap dispensers, and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit sloan.com. It's amazing that I made it through that read. What are your screen times?
6-8. Not great. But it's
6-8, not great. Nice.
Hey.
5-32.
Oh, I'm actually feeling pretty good about this now.
To be fair, also to, well, actually Zach's on the same time as me, but to Ian and Tom, it is only 9:48 where we are.
I am 4:21. It is 4:21. I'm not gonna
4:21
lie to you guys.
On 4:21. Nice.
That's crazy.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. There was some moments this evening where I wanted to be on my phone and I said, nope.
This morning I woke up and was on my phone for like 45 minutes and I was like, I need to.
I woke up early so and I knew it this. Right away. I was just like, I'm going to be in a dog fight today.
Tom, do you want to tell us what your screen time was? Did you put it in the chat here? 3 minutes. That's Tom. The last two times we've recorded, Tom, listen, you're grinding it out for us. And we appreciate it. The last two times we recorded, it's been the next day and you refused.
That means they're double digits. They must be double digits,
then. I think next week we should get you to say both of the previous screen times because If you're throwing out some 11 hours in there, the people need to know. That's episode.
He said 959, not double digits.
Not double digits.
I don't know if I
that
believe
like
that.
Lie. That seems like
wow,
a lie.
Pretty convenient.
That's like episode 205 of the Compound Podcast presented by
Fallen
Asleep. It's okay. We're still here. Presented by Connect Roasters. Connect Roasters, go to connectroasters.com. Get this hat. Get a little merch. Connectroasters.com. Get your coffee shipped right to your door. Code Compound Club or Compound 15. We will see you next week.